You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, learn, serve, and grow together in God's love. You can join us Sunday mornings for contemporary worship at 9 a.m. or for traditional worship at 11 a.m. During the summer, we meet for worship at 9:30 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at covenantmadison.org.
So our series on 2020 vision continues today. We've been reflecting on Bartimaeus. If you've been here the last couple weeks, you've heard that scripture passage other Sundays as well. This beggar who, thanks to Jesus, regains his sight and is able to follow Jesus on the way, to live his life following Jesus. So we've been thinking a little bit about this month, about what it means to open our eyes and to follow Jesus individually and especially together as a church. 2 weeks ago, we opened our eyes to see God's work through the world mission of Covenant Presbyterian Church, the great things that we're doing around the world. Last week, we looked at some of our local mission partners, giving thanks to God for good things that are happening around here in partnership with good organizations, good people that we're working with. Well, today, my hope is that we'll open our eyes to ourselves, to this church, to this community, to what God is doing here, and to the blessings and the challenges of being a church community together. So that leads us nicely into our second reading for today. I'm guessing that most of you are looking at that picture and thinking, where am I? Where am I in that picture? Well, if you were here, you're in there somewhere. But our scripture reading for today invites us to think about church community, invites us to think about where we are in the church community. Paul writes a letter to the church at Corinth. Actually, he wrote two of them, probably more. We only have two of them in the Bible. And he wrote these to a community that was having some conflict. And in this letter, he used the image of a human body to describe the church, one body with many parts. He used that imagery elsewhere in Romans chapter 12, a favorite chapter of the Bible for many people. And elsewhere in his writings, Paul used other imagery to describe the church. Earlier in Corinthians, he talks about the church as a field. He also talks about the church as a temple, and he talks about the church as a building. So there's lots of ways to understand the church. Today, we're focusing on the idea of the church as a body. It's interesting to realize that in this reading, at first, he addresses those who might think too little of themselves, people who think they don't matter, who think they're not a viable part of the community. And then later in the reading, he addresses those who are thinking too little of other people and maybe thinking too much of themselves. So he's trying to encourage people to have a healthy sense of themselves, to recognize that everybody has something to offer, that everybody is a valuable part of the community. His words from this letter call to us today, 2,000 years later, I think, to recognize the idea of unity in the midst of diversity. It's kind of a cliched phrase, but to recognize that we're all together in this, but we're diverse, and we've got diverse gifts and talents and abilities together. He's not simply saying we're all the same. New faithful Presbyterians might recognize these words as the words that we read on the days when we ordain and install elders, deacons, and pastors. Listen now for God's word from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has arranged the body, giving greater honor to the inferior member, so there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture. About 20 years ago, someone by the name of Robert Putnam wrote a book called Bowling Alone. It's become a classic sort of sociological study in our era about how we as a society are becoming more isolated from one another, more fragmented, more alone. And sadly, in the 20 years since he wrote the book, our aloneness hasn't gotten much better. We stay inside our homes more frequently, sometimes because we're afraid, because the news maybe makes us afraid, sometimes because we'd rather be sitting in front of our screens. We parents are really good at looking at the kids and saying, you spend so much time on your screens, and we parents spend a lot of time on our screens too when we think about that honestly. We don't get involved in groups or organizations as much as we used to, and we don't trust institutions like we used to. We say we don't have time, then we go in and play on our screens for hours at a time, so. With our climate-controlled homes, with our remote-controlled garage door openers, we just go home, we stay inside, we barely know our neighbors' names, and so we get fragmented, we get isolated. And this movement towards isolation, it's happening all over the place, and it's kind of challenging, and it impacts the church. It impacts the church, as in general, trends are showing that fewer and fewer people want to get involved in a religious community. In any way, shape, or form. And the term that's become common in describing people who are resistant to getting involved in religious communities is spiritual but not religious. Perhaps you've heard this term. People who still believe in God in some way, shape, or form, but don't want to get involved with an organized religion. Now, I'll be the first to admit that churches and other religious institutions have done plenty of stupid things over the years, and there are good reasons why people are skeptical of being involved in religious institutions. I get that. But at the same time, I recognize that if you want to be a faithful practitioner of your faith, whatever that faith might be, you can't do it in isolation. You can't do it alone. We need one another to be God's people. So in her 2013 book, Lillian Daniel, a pastor and author, this book is called When Spiritual But Religious Is Not Enough, and then it's subtitled Seeing God in Surprising Places, Even the Church. So in this book, she makes a strong and compelling argument for the value of church community, of people coming together. And she writes, being privately spiritual but not religious just doesn't interest me. There's nothing challenging about having deep thoughts by oneself. What is interesting is doing this work in community where other people might call you on your stuff or, heaven forbid, disagree with you. Where life with God gets rich and provocative is when you dig deeply into a tradition that you did not invent for yourself. And throughout the book, she shares wonderful stories about church communities coming together and doing great things together. It's a beautiful and compelling narrative. And then she writes in the book about the situation that I think any minister or religious leader is familiar with. And that's when I go and sit down in a plane or in a bus, and you have some small talk with the person next to you, and then they find out I'm a minister. And quite often they'll proceed to tell me why they don't go to church anymore or why they're unhappy with religion. And quite often, not always, but quite often, they'll tell me that they find God in nature. That's a familiar conversation. Ask your favorite minister friends. I'll bet you a nickel that they've had something like that. Now, all of us probably agree that finding God in nature and sunsets and mountains and oceans is majestic and beautiful and indeed a spiritual thing. But again, there's more to being a religious person than having a solo navel-gazing moment in nature. And Lillian Daniel addresses this in a wonderful paragraph that's just a little bit snarky, but I kind of like it. So she writes like this. She says, this is how she'd like to respond the next time that happens to her. Thank you for sharing, spiritual but religious sunset person. You are now comfortably in the norm for self-centered American culture, right smack in the bland majority of people who find ancient religions dull but find themselves uniquely fascinating. Can I switch seats now and sit next to someone who has been shaped by a mighty cloud of witnesses instead? Can I spend my time talking to someone brave enough to encounter God in a real human community? Because when this flight gets choppy, that's who I want by my side, holding my hand, saying a prayer, and simply putting up with me, just like we try to do in church. So she's a little snarky, but I think she makes a good point. It's good to be together in community. It's good to be with people. It's good to share the journey with one another. One body with many parts. We try to build community here at Covenant Presbyterian Church, and I get glimpses of that on a regular basis. We're having small groups happening this fall. We've got 13 groups, over 100 people meeting in homes and meeting in cafes, meeting here at the church, talking about the Lord's Prayer, learning, growing, sometimes disagreeing with one another, but sharing the journey together. We had a women's retreat last weekend where 20 women got together and had a great time learning, growing, and sharing together. We have regular opportunities for teenagers to get together, to connect, to learn, to grow together. Just yesterday, 10 middle school kids made their best effort to do a corn maze run in the rain and ended up eating lots of brats instead, but they had a good time together. We give children an opportunity to learn and grow and share together on a weekly basis with Sunday school and through all sorts of special projects through the year. So there are lots of good things happening in the life and ministry of this church, people coming together and doing the hard work to find community and finding value and benefit here. Several weeks ago, on our 65th anniversary, we asked several people to share in front of a camera what they thought, what they value about Covenant Presbyterian Church. We've got a couple of those responses for you this morning.
My wife and I have been members here for somewhere in the 3 to 5 year range. So I think, as we had our son and wanted to come into a faith community, we found this place and it's been a great fit ever since.
I felt welcome from the first time I walked in here, which is about 28 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
It's been that long.
Yeah. It's all here. Everybody's so caring and seems to have an agenda to help people, and it's a very, very good place to be.
I thought this is a church where I and my family can grow and learn.
Like many churches, this is one where you find a friendly conversation and scintillating sermons, but there's much more to it than what happens on Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings are a launching pad for our living out God's love and God's word through the week. That's what strikes me as most important about this congregation. Whether individuals are 10 or 18 or 80, there are so many opportunities to learn about what our Christian life really means and how to translate that into action in our daily lives.
I think when you walk through the doors, immediately you're surrounded by people that smile and want to meet you and want to get to know you and get to know about you, not just your name, but to get to know your life story and walk with you in your life's journey.
Want a church that loves all people, that has an incredible mission work, incredible opportunities for adult education. It's all here. The music is here. The learning is here, the loving is here, it's all at Covenant.
Chocolate donuts.
Chocolate donuts, okay.
Thanks to Davis Hardy, who's sitting right over there by the piano, for the production work on that video, and thanks to people who shared their their thoughts in that video. It's nice to see people sharing about how we're a diverse community, appreciating different things, but coming together in community with each other, rubbing elbows with one another to learn and share and grow together, how we need one another. Building a church community doesn't just happen. It takes some intentionality and some purposefulness. We all have to work on it. And one way to work on it is doing exactly what you're doing this morning, by being present, by being here, by being with one another. While it might seem like it's just another Sunday for you, it's quite possible that somebody sitting near you today, somebody in the sanctuary, is having a really hard time. Maybe a loved one just got bad news from the doctor. Maybe they had a bad day at work this week. Maybe they just lost a job. Maybe a loved one got victimized or assaulted. Maybe they just had a big fight with family or a loved one. Sometimes people walk into the sanctuary and life is a mess. So maybe they need you to be here in worship today, to sing for them, to pray for them, because maybe they can't find the way to pray themselves. Maybe somebody needs you to look them in the eye and say, "Peace be with you." Maybe somebody needs you to have a cup of coffee together or go to a Bible study together or even go to a committee meeting together, my goodness. Maybe somebody needs you to chat about the weather or the Badgers and that horrible football game yesterday or who knows what. There's all sorts of things. The thing is, we need one another. One body, many parts. We need to comfort and support one another on the way. So just coming together, making that intentional effort is really, really important. Another way to strengthen our community, to build up the body, to help this body with many parts be happy and healthy, is by filling out your serving survey, which came in the mail to members and friends of the church, and it's available online. We'd actually prefer you do the online version. It's one page. It'll take you 60 seconds maybe to fill out, to encourage one another so we can figure out what the strengths are in the church body, and finding out your skills and interests so everyone can find their place in the church. We've already got about a dozen of those filled out. We'd love to have a whole lot more. Just this past week, I had conversations with people, most of which I did not initiate, about different areas of ways that people can serve here. Someone wanted to talk to me about being on the finance committee. Someone else wanted to talk to me about singing in church. Someone else, I was chatting with someone about working with middle school students, and I was chatted with somebody else who wanted to talk about gardening opportunities in the church. I'd be very surprised, those were all four different people, I'd be very surprised if one person would want to do all of those things together, right? Very different interests. Not everybody's cut out to do everything. Most people in this church, as far as I know, are not getting really excited about serving on the finance committee or about spending hours and hours with middle school students. But there are people here who are excited about those things. So again, one body, many parts. We do our thing together and we share those gifts together. So that's the way it goes. And the thing is, in the reading for today, there's one other verse that I wanted to highlight for you. Just prior to Paul talking about the body coming together, he writes, "To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." It's just a reminder for us that the gifts that we've been given, whatever those gifts are, they're not just for us. They're meant to be shared. They're meant to be used for the common good. And that's the purpose. So we're given gifts by God of experience and time and talent and treasure and blessing and all those things. And we're meant to share those for the sake of others. So we come together from our isolated lives. We come together, we rub elbows with each other, we encounter God, and then we're strengthened for daily living. One body, many parts, coming together for the common good. I want to tell you about somebody who learned that lesson really well. Yesterday we had a memorial service here for a woman named Lorraine who died about a month ago, just a month or so short of her 100th birthday. She's been a member of this church for about 10 years. She grew up, actually is the pastor's daughter, and she loved this church. Anytime I went to visit her, anytime anybody went to visit her, she would tell them how much she loved Covenant Presbyterian Church. And I want to share with you three short ways about how she valued this church community. One of them is she loved to be here, and it was really heartbreaking for her the last several months when she couldn't be here. She used to sit right here in the front, and she loved the passing of the peace. I could just see it in her eyes every time we passed the peace. It was hard for her to stand up, but she would stand up and turn to people and smile and look them in the eye and say, "Peace be with you." And over the years, she developed friendships with people from that passing of the peace. The family you see with her on her 99th birthday last year, the Smith family, they sit in the front here too. They got to know each other. They developed a friendship from that passing of the peace, from being in church together. The four Smith kids were here for her service yesterday. It was a wonderful, wonderful blessing. So she valued being together in community and passing the peace. She knew the value of being here on Sunday mornings. Secondly, she knew the value of learning God's word together, a lifetime of Bible studies and being in worship. She was well-grounded, and she learned from other people and probably disagreed with other people sometimes about how we understand and interpret the Bible, but God's word was alive for her, so that as her life was ending, she put together a list of not only hymns, but also scripture readings that she thought were valuable to reflect her life story that we shared yesterday in her memorial service. So she learned God's word and God's word in song by being together in community. And thirdly, she valued community as a place where we try to do good together, where we try to do the right things together, and particularly here where we try to share God's love in concrete ways. As some of you know, this is the church where about 8 years ago, the Reverend Scott Anderson was ordained in the Presbyterian Church as the first openly gay pastor in the Presbyterian Church USA, when the church got around to changing its rules and welcoming all people to serve. Scott had been a member of this community. He was well-loved, and it was a wonderful time of affirmation for him and celebration as we moved forward. It was before I got here, but I've heard a lot about that day. It was 8 years ago. Sadly, on that day, there were some protesters outside with hate-filled signs from Westboro Baptist Church. You might have seen them. You know, they go to military funerals and just these venomous, hateful things that the signs that they have. So, well, 92-year-old Lorraine heard about this. She lived just a couple blocks away. And so I just love the image of thinking about 92-year-old woman walking down the street to join the counter-protest, to stand with people who were affirming God's inclusive love, God's welcoming love, and supporting a wonderful pastor like Scott Anderson. So she learned from her lifetime in church communities, including this one, the value of making God's love real and concrete and tangible. Lorraine is just one of many people in this congregation who value community and use their distinctive gifts to make it stronger, to make God's love more alive. So friends, we're blessed with a great church community, and I'm hoping we'll do all that we can to make it stronger and healthier for the sake of future generations. My hope is God will continue to open our eyes to see the good things happening here in Madison and around the world because of what happens in this church. But I don't want us to stop by just saying what a great church Covenant is. Because while that might be true, that's not our end game. That's not our purpose. Our purpose isn't to make a great church. Our purpose is to love God and to make God's love real in the world. We're not a fortress in here just to pat ourselves on the back and say how great a church we are. This is more of a stopping ground or a launching pad to go out into the world and do great things and make God's love real however and wherever we can. I'm glad to be part of this community. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus into this world to proclaim a message of love and grace and reconciliation. Thank you that through him the church has begun and we are part of that wonderful institution. We are one body with many different parts. We thank you for the diversity in our midst, and we pray that you'll help us become stronger as your people, as we lean on one another and support one another and grow together to make a difference in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.